This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with News West for Sunday the 12th of December 2021. Today is the contesting edition of News West with information on contests near and far. We have a story about Antennapalooza, a recent amateur radio event in Victoria, and if you're wondering why we report on a VK3 event, keep listening and we'll tell you why. Did you see the announcement of the WIA director elections for 2022 in the latest amateur radio magazine? We'll talk about that. News West is produced every week of the year by WA Amateur Radio News, an amateur radio club in Western Australia. Our website is vk6.net and our email address is newswest@vk6.net. I'm Bob, VK6POP, the News West producer.
From the Czech Republic comes the OK Ritty Contest. This 24-hour contest commences at 0000 UTC on Saturday 18th December, so that's next weekend. There's one mode being used in this contest, and that's Ritty Bordeaux, and the available bands are 10, 15, 20, 40 and 80 metres. According to your country's IARU-compatible band plan. The categories are single operator all bands high power greater than 100 watt, single operator all bands low power less than 100 watt, single operator single band working only one of the allowed bands, multi-operators all bands only one signal, better known as multi-single, or shortwave listener. The exchange is RST plus CQ zone. If you're thinking of giving this contest a go, you should read the rules on the website at okritty.crk.cz. Again, okritty, one word, .crk.cz. Or simply Google okritty contest and you'll get to it first go, just like I did.
The summer VHF-UHF field day is in January. In fact, it's Saturday the 15th from 0100 UTC through to 0059 UTC, Sunday the 16th of January. Apparently, Western Australia starts an hour later, or something. The poorly structured WIA website says, quote, "The time differs in VK6," unquote. It would have been more helpful to have said, the contest begins X hours later in VK6, but it doesn't. It's poor that you have to scroll up and down a page to join together two pieces of information that belong together. There are some things in life that we can do without. One of them is standing up in a hammock, good luck. And the other is hunting back and forth on a web page trying to make sense of it, even more good luck needed. So, that's all the detail you're getting from us for the summer VHF-UHF field day. And besides, the contest manager might give more detailed, even helpful information on the WIA news. The most important thing here in WA with the national VHF-UHF contest is that we're basically on our own. The chances of making contacts with other states are pretty slim, even for those equipped with superstations. The best strategy for making anything useful out of this field day is to encourage other people to participate. The more people that are in it, the more action there'll be. So, how do you do that? Well, for a start, you need to make your intentions clear by telling others that you're going to have a go and encourage others to join in. Try making posts to Facebook groups, email lists, on air, and so on, telling the rest of us that you'd like to have a go. It could prove to be a good day out. Meanwhile, it being a field day implies that portable operation is encouraged. That means you could improve your chances by using a directional antenna with a bit of gain. Now that would be a nice Christmas New Year activity, wouldn't it? There are designs out there that a handyman can knock up in a couple of hours using some wood and some wire from a couple of coat hangers, and others using tape measures. Have a go.
What kind of amateur radio contester are you? There's a few types, in fact more than a few, but let's talk about some of them. Probably the most prominent type of contester is the non-contester. Some will give you reasons why they never did, or will never again. Others either haven't got around to it or haven't heard of amateur radio contesting, There may be more categories of non-contester, but that will do. I'm sure we've covered most of them. The newcomer will dip their toe in the water to see what contesting is all about, and depending on their experience, they may try again or find something else to do. There's a pretty sizable group of what I call casual contesters. We dabble a bit, a few times a year, and mostly in the Aussie contests. I'm in that category. What we have left is the more serious contester. Being serious about contesting doesn't necessarily mean that you enter as many contests as your spouse can stand, but it could, if you wanted it to. Some contesters are very serious about it, not by volume, but by targeting the contest that they'd like to take part in over the year. You'll see them talking on social media about building a bigger and better antenna for a particular, more specialised contest, such as a 10-metre contest. Or you'll see a team of two or more preparing an antenna farm for a multi-operator team in an upcoming contest. Contests can be fun, whether you're running as a single operator or part of a larger team. My personal preference is to run a portable station because I'm interested in portable operation and I love camping. A match made in heaven. And I'm sure my wife enjoys getting rid of me for a couple of days at a time.
This is VK6ARN and you're listening to News West.
The Yankee Bravo DX contest is conducted by the Amateur Radio Organisation of Indonesia in January each year. In 2022, this contest, which runs for 24 hours, commences at 0100 hours UTC on the 8th of January. The objective of the YBDX contest is for amateurs around the world to contact as many other amateurs in as many countries and Indonesia, that's YB land, everyone can work everyone. The bands allowed are 3.5, 7, 14, 21 and 28 megahertz with no WARC bands. You must operate within the privileges of your license. The exchange for this single sideband contest is 59 plus serial number. Example, 59001. The entry categories are single operator, all band high power, power maximum 1500 watts. Single operator, all band low power, power maximum 100 watts. Multi-operator single transmitter category is not available due to COVID-19 pandemic. All stations can make contacts once on each band. Scoring is interesting because for us, any contact outside of Australia is worth 3 points and an Indonesian contact gains 10 points. Then there are the multipliers. The final score is the result of the total QSO points multiplied by the sum of YB prefixes and country multipliers. There's more information about the rules and important information about logging software and log submissions at the website ydxcontest.com. That is Yankee Bravo Delta X-ray Contest.com.
The ARRL Ritty Roundup is on the weekend of 8th and 9th of January. That's next month and next year, just in case you lost count. The contest objective is for amateurs worldwide to contact and exchange QSO information with other amateurs using digital modes, including Bordeaux Ritty, PSK, FT8, FT4, ASCII, MTOR and Packet. Please note that all of these are attended operation only, with no automated operation. The bands allowed are 80, 40, 20, 15 and 10 metre bands. Any station may work any other station, and stations may be worked once per band, regardless of the mode. The date again is January the 8th and 9th, 2022, and the contest period is 1800 UTC Saturday, and ending 2359 UTC Sunday. Visit the ARRL website, arrl.org, for more detail and to see the contest rules.
One of the popular Aussie contests that tends to sneak up on us in the new year is the John Moyle Memorial Field Day. The John Moyle is always in March, and in 2022, It's on the weekend of the 19th and 20th of March. That seems like a long way off. However, the thing to do about it now is to decide that you'll take part. Because it's a contest aimed at portable operation, perhaps you could use the long lead time to plan ahead. Where would you operate portable? What does portable even mean? Well, let's look at the contest rules. And the definition of portable are right there at the top. Rule number one. A portable station comprises field equipment operating from a power source. Example, batteries, portable generator, solar power, wind power, independent of any permanent facilities, and which is not the normal location of any amateur station. Mains power operation of a portable station is expressly forbidden. Rule number two. All equipment comprising the portable station must be located within an 800-meter diameter circle. So that's pretty clear, isn't it? You can't merely set up a table in your backyard and plug into your fixed antennas, and you certainly can't plug into your mains power. You could start looking around for a suitable site where you can operate portable. It doesn't have to be a remote bush location, although those can be fun. It can be in the park across the road or a reserve somewhere. It might pay to consider gaining permission to be there. And if you're running a generator, will the noise annoy people nearby? Decide if you want to run as a single operator or multi-operator station, as this will determine the category in which you will enter the contest. We'll give you more updates and suggestions on the John Moyle in future contesting editions. We just wanted you to start thinking now about how you'll tackle the John Moyle.
Have you looked through your latest amateur radio magazine? I had a quick browse when it arrived over a week ago, and at first thought that the WIA had missed announcing the board elections, but they hadn't. It's there, on page 17. I might sound a bit picky, however, I thought that such an announcement would have had a higher billing, and that the election of directors would have ranked at least a mention in the board report column. But it didn't. Not mentioned at all. The board report this time came from the vice president, who spent yet more time and words crowing the incomplete story about how the WIA single-handedly won the 2x1 call signs. In spite of all the evidence to the contrary, the vice president repeated the same mistruth that failed to acknowledge the role that RASA played in gaining the 2x1 call signs. A law of propaganda, often attributed to the Nazi Joseph Goebbels, goes like this: repeat a lie often enough, and it becomes the truth. Tactics like this are known as the illusion of truth. Now, I'm not accusing Mr. Moyle of telling a lie, but he isn't telling the whole truth, is he? And he knows it, which is why he's repeated the same incomplete story several times on social media, on the WIA's website, and now in the amateur radio magazine. By omitting a piece of the truth, he's altered the story. This is but one example of how people both within the Wireless Institute of Australia and those in volunteer roles and others who are self-appointed defenders of the Wireless Institute are conducting a campaign of mistruth and misrepresentation and bastardry against those people that they dislike. This campaign of dirty tricks and victimisation has tacit approval of the WIA board. Tacit approval because they haven't spoken out against the bullying, misrepresentation and victimisation that's occurring. The list is too long to read out here. However, it includes the Wireless Institute's email system being used to block the email addresses of people that someone within the WIA doesn't like. Like ignoring correspondence from people and clubs that someone doesn't like. Like denying access to the QSL card service by denying membership to people that they don't like. The Wireless Institute has exclusive rights to conduct the International Amateur Radio Union's QSL service in Australia. That's fine if they don't like an Aussie. However, cards from innocent operators from other countries are discarded. How is that fair? Like excluding certain WIA-affiliated clubs from attending the President's Meeting of Club Presidents on the weekend of the Wireless Institute's AGM. Like a section winner in a recent Wireless Institute contest being denied their winner's certificate, not by the contest manager, but by some other functionary in the food chain. Like not publishing advertisements for our club's major event, twice by two successive editors. No reason given, no discussion, just a unilateral decision not to publish our advertisement. And our advertisement was submitted in accordance with the Wireless Institute's policy re-affiliated clubs. Like myself and my club being abruptly dismissed and blocked in a national social media forum for contesting. We were able to get that decision reversed. However, it appeared to be the decision of one individual who claimed that I was critical of the Wireless Institute. And the list is very long. These are the more recent happenings. This is the sort of behaviour that the Wireless Institute of Australia board appears to be supporting. They know that it's happening because they've received the complaints, and they do nothing. The Wireless Institute of Australia have a couple of policies that are being ignored. They are right there on the Wireless Institute's website. One's called the Corporate Ethics Policy, and the other is the Charter for Volunteers. Have a look. So, back to the WIA board elections. If you see the need for change, you can make the changes by either standing for election as a director or by supporting and voting for someone that you trust to fulfil the role. It's as simple as that. Change is in your hands. However, if you like the way that the Wireless Institute's operating with victimisation, bastardry, bullying, sit on your hands and do nothing.
On HF, VHF and UHF, via the VK6 linked repeater network, and online, this is News West from VK6 ARN.
If you're new to contesting or have no involvement, you might wonder where some of the scores come from. You'll see posts on social media where someone says, "I did well in the XYZ contest last weekend with a score of 3,250,000 points." You'd be excused for thinking, how the heck can anyone make that amount of contacts in 24-hour contest? The quick answer is they don't. Over the 24 hours, they might have worked, say, 300 stations. So why the big score? The answer is multipliers. By working a variety of stations in different areas, multipliers are brought into play, increasing the score. Typical multipliers are countries, CQ zones, and sometimes callsign prefix areas, or even bands. A multiplier can be any condition that can be evenly applied to all entrants in the contest. Multipliers are often accumulative, hence the super high scores. Multipliers are used for a few reasons. One reason could be to make the contest more interesting. Another could be to force participants to work stations from a wider range of locations. It all sounds rather complex, and if maths isn't your strong point, it may appear daunting. But wait, help has arrived. Actually, it arrived some time ago. You see, modern contest logging software knows the rules, so all you need to do is to make contacts, and the software will alert you if the contact isn't appropriate. And best of all, the software recognizes the multipliers and applies them to your score as you go. And to cap it off, when you're done with the contest, you can do a quick check of your log for errors, and at the click of a button or two, your log is uploaded to the right place.
Antennapalooza is an amateur radio and social event held over a weekend on a 7-acre rural property about 100 kilometres east of Melbourne. Now in its seventh year, the event is popular with a broad and interesting array of presentations, operational and social activities. This year, it was held on the first weekend of December. About 50 people attended over the 2 days, with around 15 camping overnight, enjoying pizza and good camaraderie around the fire. The Saturday got a bit windy, which gave the new purpose-built pavilion a bit of a hard time, but it survived. Sunday was a much more pleasant day, with blue skies and sunshine. The various presentations were well received, and a good time was had by all. Paul, VK2 APA, gave an excellent talk on maritime communications. Roy, VK3 Golf Bravo, gave an interesting and practical talk on vertical antennas. Bob, VK3 X-ray Papa, gave a great insight into power and earthing considerations for setting up a mobile station. Other topics included getting started in Morse code, introduction to contesting, and setting up antennas for mobile and portable operation. A couple of short articles will follow in QTC magazine on how to set up a mobile station. The entire weekend was about amateur radio and sharing ideas, meeting new friends and catching up with old ones. At least 5 clubs were represented, with RASA and 4 WIA-affiliated clubs supporting and sponsoring Antennapalooza. WIA President Scott Williams, VK3KJ, came along on Sunday and joined the informal chatter and spoke a little about his new contest station and impressive array of antennas. It was positive to see the WIA and RASA presidents having a chat and no doubt talking about how we can all grow the hobby together. As always, the hosts Ian and Di Jackson, VK3BUF and VK3JDI, did a wonderful job, and on behalf of all attendees, we thank them both for the tremendous effort in making Antennapalooza another success. Read more about Antennapalooza in the December edition of QTC, which is out next week, or visit antennapalooza.net.au. 7-3.
Well, thanks, Chris. So why a VK3 story on a VK6 news program? Well, there's a couple of reasons. Firstly, Antennapalooza is a great event. It's a great event with a weird name, but let's live with the name. It's an event that has stood the test of time and COVID. It could do with a larger attendance, being in the most densely populated Australian state. However, the Victorian community are still having a struggle with COVID. And it's out of town. Victorians don't seem to like leaving their backyard, but that's not why I'm commenting. The reason I ran with the item on Antennapalooza is that the event is such a good idea, an idea that's worth taking up here in WA. I'm not interested in converting Perth Tech into Antennapalooza. I'm more interested in someone in Western Australia taking up the idea and running with it as another event, maybe on the other side of the yearly calendar to Perth Tech. Some WA clubs have done field day type activities in the past. This one will take it a bit further. Perhaps one or two clubs could work together on it. Now, some people and organisations tend to drop everything when Christmas comes around, but not us. News West programs will be produced for Boxing Day, which is the 26th of December, and 2nd of January, the day after New Year's Day, hangovers notwithstanding. Please get any contributions to us as early as you can for those editions. Now, there could be some interruptions to broadcasts due to the holiday break. I haven't heard of any. However, where this does occur, I'm sure the relevant broadcasters will inform their regular listeners of any changes. I'm offering to pay News West volunteers double their usual rate for the holiday season to keep the show on the road.
This is News West from VK6 ARN, produced by amateurs for amateurs, purely about the hobby of amateur communication and experimentation.
Next week, News West will be showcasing a bit of amateur radio history. We do try to focus on West Australian history, however, it gets sort of scarce after a while, and our reach extends to other parts of Australia. Our main sources of amateur radio history stories have been historical amateur radio magazines scanned by Will, VK6UU, and the National Library of Australia's Trove website, mostly old newspapers. Something becomes glaringly apparent when trawling through these sources. What's apparent is that there are gaps. There were long periods, for instance, where VK6 notes in the amateur radio magazine were very scant and even simply non-existent. I'd hate to see our history lost. So, what are your memories of how things were in the past? Significant achievements or some developments, for example? What stories do you have to contribute? We'd love to put your recollections or your research discoveries to air. Just send what you find as email attachments to newswest@vk6.net.
Good morning, everyone. Here I am again with this week's helpline disposals for the 12th of December, 2021. Do I have for you in the goodie bag today? I've got a Barrett 550 transceiver, commercial Barrett 550, complete with Barrett auto-tune antenna, and 1.6-metre stainless whip antenna. All necessary cables and all in good condition, asking 750. If you are interested, please contact Brian, VK6 Zulu Bravo Alpha, on mobile 0427-994-620. Again, 0427-994-620. The email address is victorkilo6zulubravoalpha@ozbb.com.au. Okay. VK6 Zulu Bravo Alpha at Alpha Uniform Sierra Sierra India Echo Bravo Bravo.com.au. Okay, we're going on to the next one. Still looking for length of aluminium tubing, 44.5 millimeters in diameter, and that's 1¾ inches in the old measure. Looking for 2 to 3 meters of that, or any length that you may be able to spare. Please contact Steve, VK6 Victor Zulu. His phone number, 0408 183 742, or email Sierra Tango Echo Victor Echo Victor Kilo 6 Victor Zulu at tangopapagolf.com.au. Next item is from the estate of Don Truscott, VK6 Uniform Tango, now Silent Key. His son is looking after all these equipment. He has a couple of IC706s Mark II G tri-band HF, VHF, UHF transceivers. There's a Yaesu 200, a Fox Tango 2, an IC's 245, and a Diamond Sierra X-Ray 600. And if you would like a list of all the other items of equipment, there's quite a list there. Can't go through them all. Please contact Stephen Truscott on 0401 804 166. Again, 0401 804 166. On the email, with Sierra Tango Echo Papa Hotel Enco November Tango at westnet.com.au. Again, that's Sierra Tango Echo Papa Hotel Echo November Tango at westnet.com.au for a list of all the equipment. Also have a Kodan November Golf Tango, an NGTAR voice transceiver with amateur options, $700 for that. Phone Chris, 0404 800446. Again, 0404 800446, and ask for Chris, VK6 Kilo Romeo Sierra. And final item this morning, Mark, VK6 Quebec India, is still looking for a CW filter to suit a Yaesu Fox Tango 817 transceiver. A filter such as a Yankee Fox 122 Charlie or a Yankee Fox 122 Charlie November will fill the bill nicely. If you can help Mark, please contact him by SMS or phone, 0418 161 773, 0418 161 773. And that's the lot. If you have any items for next week, please contact me by email, the address victorkilo6xrayvictor@bigpond.com, to be included in next week's disposal helpline. Anyone would like to do that, please contact me again, VK6XRayVictor@bigpond.com. And until next week, 7-3 from me, 7-3 from him.
Thanks for listening, and thanks to the broadcasters, callback collectors, and those who donate their time and equipment to make news broadcasts possible. The studio team this week is Jeff, VK6JEF, Roy, VK6XV, Mike, VK6KMS, and Andrew, VK6 Alpha Sierra, pouring the wine. And thanks to Chris, VK3QB, for his contribution this week. I'm Bob, VK6POP, the News West producer. Well, now there's only 12 radio shopping days left until Christmas, but who cares? Christmas shopping belongs on Christmas Eve, right? So until next week, stay safe, don't play with matches, but simply get on air and make some noise.